Radio Prague News.
The foreign ministers of the Visegrad 4, Germany and Luxembourg are debating the migrant crisis in Prague. The Czech Interior Ministry is to process more repatriation requests from ethnic Czechs in Ukraine. And philosopher and Charter 77 co-founder Radim Paloš has died at the age of 90. The foreign ministers of the Visegrad 4, Germany and Luxembourg are meeting in Prague to try to find common ground on a solution to the migrant crisis ahead of an EU summit on the issue scheduled for September 14th. Friday's talks in Prague have so far indicated continuing controversy on the matter of mandatory migrant quotas, which the Visegrad group, comprising the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary, has consistently rejected. Ahead of Friday's meeting, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek indicated a possible softening of the Czech position, saying the country did not want to block an emerging agreement within the European Union. However, he said the Visegrad group had persuasive arguments for rejecting mandatory quotas and would present them at Friday's meeting. Czech Interior Ministry officials will examine new applications filed by ethnic Czechs from Ukraine for resettlement to the Czech Republic. Head of the Presidential Office's Foreign Department, Hinek Moniček, told the CTK news agency after a meeting with expatriates on Wednesday. The officials will arrive in Kiev on September 27th and stay there for the course of a week. Věra Došková, representative of the Czech expatriate community, said after the meeting that the procedure concerns about 200 ethnic Czechs whose applications were previously declined. To date, 414 people have applied for permanent residence in the Czech Republic and 151 have already moved to the country. Czech philosopher, former dissident and co-founder of Charter 77, Radim Paloš, has died at the age of 90, the CTK news agency reported. He served as the first post-communist rector of Prague's Charles University after 1989. During the communist years, one of the country's leading academics was persecuted and forced into manual labor. In a condolence letter to his family, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said the country had lost a man of conviction, a respected philosopher and one of the key figures of the country's modern history. Both reactors of the Temelí nuclear power plant have been disconnected from the grid for technical reasons and the plant is no longer generating electricity, a spokesman for the power utility ČEZ confirmed on Friday. The first reactor was disconnected on September 3rd due to a technical fault in the non-nuclear section of the plant. The second block was disconnected on Friday due to a fault in the turbo generator. The 2,000 megawatt plant is the biggest source of electricity in the country and covers a fifth of overall electricity consumption. The renowned Czech violinist Václav Hudeček has received the prestigious Italian award Cavaliere dell'Ordine della Stella d'Italia, presented to artists for propagating the country's good name abroad. Hudeček is one of the world's leading interpreters of the music of Antonio Vivaldi and Niccolo Paganini. The award was presented to Hudeček at a special ceremony at the Italian embassy in Prague on Thursday evening. The newly constructed Blanka Tunnel complex in Prague is to open to traffic on September 19th at 2 p.m., according to the Prague councillor responsible for transport infrastructure, Petr Dolínek. In the first days, drivers should expect a 50-kilometer speed limit. The tunnel complex was built as part of the Prague City Ring Road. It is the longest road tunnel in the Czech Republic and the longest city tunnel in Europe. The complex of three tunnels over 6.5 kilometers in length will connect the area west of Prague Castle with Troyer District in the northeast. The complex cost nearly 37 billion crowns and its completion was 4 years behind schedule. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend should bring intervals of rain and shine and temperatures of around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, one state can't handle their refugee crisis alone, the German foreign minister told his Visegrad 4 counterparts at a meeting in Prague on Friday. We have the roundup of this week's business news, and later we hear about a Czech company that's making copies of rare historical manuscripts. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The foreign ministers of the Visegrad 4 countries, Germany and Luxembourg, met in Prague on Friday to discuss Europe's ongoing refugee crisis. Germany's Frank-Walter Steinmeier insisted on EU states sharing the burden, while his Visegrad counterparts may have shown the first hints of division over the issue of quotas. Ian Willoughby reports.
A week ago, the prime ministers of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary reiterated their country's opposition to EU proposals for refugee quotas at a meeting in Prague. This time it was the turn of the Visegrad 4 foreign ministers, along with their counterparts from Germany, the strongest backer of the quota plan, and Luxembourg, which currently holds the EU presidency and also supports what's called relocation. Between the two meetings, the President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, announced details of a plan to resettle a total of 160,000 refugees, significantly expanding on previous goals. Just prior to Friday's meeting, the Czech Foreign Minister, Lubomír Zaorálek, seemed to perhaps signal a change in his country's position, telling news websites that Prague didn't want to be perceived as putting a brake on agreement on the quotas issue. During a news conference alongside the other five foreign ministers, Mr. Zaorálek said that cracks had recently appeared between old Europe and Central and Eastern European states. But he said he supported a common, comprehensive European solution. We're glad that in the new European Commission material, it states that it's important to ensure thorough protection of borders, to differentiate legitimate refugees from economic migrants, to work on a functioning returns policy to unify the asylum procedure. A very important point we feel needs more attention is the creation of so-called hotspots, places where registration will take place and which will help us ascertain who is actually coming to us. On that basis, we can decide how we will proceed further. The German Foreign Minister, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, described the refugee crisis as the biggest challenge ever faced by the European Union. Berlin is expecting to take in at least 800,000 asylum seekers this year, and Mr. Steinmeier said that one country simply couldn't handle such numbers alone. Against the backdrop of talk about a rift between West and East on the matter, the German diplomatic chief cautioned against a blame game. He did say, however, that there were points on which he and his Visegrad 4 colleagues were at odds. Mr. Steinmeier said the issue of future migrants also needed to be considered, adding that there should be a just mechanism of division of migrants. When the German minister left the news conference early because of another engagement, Mr. Zaorálek said he and his regional counterparts were going back to the negotiating table to continue their discussion. But if members of the Visegrad group do continue digging their heels in, they look likely to be outvoted on the quotas issue. It will be decided by a qualified majority, meaning a veto isn't possible. The next step in the process will be a meeting of EU Interior and Justice Ministers in Luxembourg on Monday. The President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, said on Friday that if agreement is not reached then, he will convene a special meeting of heads of government for later this month.
Ian Willoughby with that report. And now I am joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarová for the summary of this week's business news.
Czech oil distributor Unipetrol is preparing to undertake its largest round of investments in Czech history. The company will build a new oil processing facility worth 8.5 billion crowns after signing a deal with Italian engineering firm Technip. The deal will see a new polyethylene manufacturing plant built in Zalužie in northwestern Bohemia, planned to go into operation in 2018. According to Unipetrol CEO Marek Svitajevski, the move will enable the company, owned by Poland's PKN Orlen, to utilise the most modern technologies available.
Czech firms are able to immediately put to work 5,000 immigrants, according to a study published by the Czech Transport and Industry Association. As the country experiences a period of strong growth, demand is high for qualified technical workers, which the association argues could even be sourced from among the wave of Syrian migrants entering the European Union. However, such employment could also be hindered by language barriers and the long process of applying for a work permit, writes Novinky.cz. The association is set to discuss with the Czech government how to devise a program to retrain migrant labourers and also school them in the Czech language.
The rate of inflation growth in the Czech Republic slowed for the third month in a row, according to new figures released by the Czech Statistics Office. Previously, the Czech National Bank had forecast 0.7% growth in August, but the real number was only 0.3%. Chiefly responsible for the trend are falling fuel prices, while the prices of a number of groceries, including grain and dairy products, also fell. The Czech National Bank forecasts inflation levels of 2%. By 2017.
The European arm of Chinese consumer electronics manufacturer Changhong has announced that it is set to invest 650 million crowns to expand its plant in the Czech town of Nymburk, which currently employs 300 people. Changhong's investment in the plant began back in 2006, at the time representing a rare example of Czech-Chinese economic cooperation. According to President Miloš Zeman, a staunch advocate of closer economic ties with China, the volume of overall Chinese investments in the Czech Republic could soon rise as high as 10 billion crowns.
The number of dollar millionaires living in the Czech Republic climbed last year by 10% to a record 21,400 people, according to the results of a new worldwide survey published by French consulting firm Capgemini and US firm RBC Wealth Management. The data also shows that the rate of growth in Czech millionaires considerably exceeds the global average. Among the contributing factors are strong Czech GDP growth and strong exports.
Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now in the final part of our program, Jan Wellinger meets with Jan Žilinčar, a man who is recreating rare Czech manuscripts.
Tempus Libri is a Czech company specializing in the production of authentic copies or clones of rare historic manuscripts, often of immense cultural value. To date, the most significant tome the firm copied is the Vyšehrad Codex, dating back to the Romanesque period. The manuscript, made up of 108 parchment folios, 26 of which are illuminated, focuses on numerous topics, including the genealogy of Christ. The codex also depicts the first Czech king, Vratislav II, and features a reference to St. Wenceslas, the patron saint of Bohemia. Faithfully copying rare and national treasures requires both state-of-the-art technology and remarkable crafting skill in a number of different areas. Tempus Libri's Tomáš Žilinčar told me more at Czech Radio recently.
The most important step, once you have contracts and fees out of the way, is the exceptional digitalization of the manuscript. A moving robotic camera scans every single point on the page, and a single page can take 40 minutes to map. The utmost care is needed and, in the case of the Vyšehrad Codex, maximum security. The Codex may not be the oldest book in the Czech lands, but it is considered the most valuable, because it refers to the first Czech king to take the throne. It is, quite rightly, a national treasure. Not all manuscripts can be scanned, but digitalization in the case of the Codex was necessary. There was no other way a faithful clone of that particular book could have been completed.
There are two specialized centers in the country where top digitalization takes place. One is the National Library, where extremely rare books are scanned and manuscripts never leave the building, remaining in perfect conservation conditions. The quality of the scan can then also be checked on the spot for any mistakes or imperfections. Tempus Libre often cooperates with institutions like the National Library to bring clones to life.
As a company, we want to publish manuscripts which are commercially interesting, but it is often the case that we cooperate with existing institutions. Many of our orders for a particular manuscript come from public institutions. These can be rare tomes where the original is too valuable to study on a regular basis, so authentic copies are needed. The copy needs to be of the highest accuracy in terms of content and appearance.
A great many steps to create the actual facsimile are needed, but once a perfect result is achieved, the manuscript must still be hand-bound and aged. Every last detail must match, down to imperfections and damage a manuscript suffered over the centuries. Stains or discoloration, worn pages, loose or even torn-out pages, grooves or scratches on the binding. The idea is not to pull the wool over anyone's eyes, just to make an identical copy. Tomáš Žilinčár again.
Člověk vnímá toto všemi smysly.
Anyone handling the book perceives numerous aspects, not just through sight, but also by feel. There can be no use of artificial materials. It has to feel authentic in the hands. We don't want to trick anyone into thinking it is the original. It must still be visually convincing. There, digitalization is crucial. Physically, we can then recreate each and every one of the book's anomalies, whether it is in the vellum or handmade paper. If an original has several pages which are bored through by a grub, we have to recreate the bore through each page, and the holes also have to line up.
Počítáme to víceméně na řemesla, které se na té knižce vystřídají, jejich desítky.
And another tricky aspect. The pages are printed on white paper in order to get the proper color balance, but that means that the foredge of the book is also glaringly white, which has to be changed. Every single page has to be hand-painted to create a dirty or old-looking patina along the side. If you have a print run of 200 copies, you can imagine the amount of work a single volume takes. The Czechs have a saying, mravenčí práce, an ant's work. It is hard to think of a more painstaking profession. Tomáš Žilinčár says there's only a handful of people in the country who have the necessary qualifications. Many tasks are handled separately by different artisans. An especially majestic historic tome, for example, may have a heavy leather cover embedded with semi-rare gemstones or jewels.
Počítáme to víceméně na řemesla, které se na té knižce vystřídají.
The requirements vary from book to book, but most require work from a long list of specialists. Goldsmiths, engravers, gem cutters, needleworkers, bookbinders, and many others, like the tanner. A different kind of leather is needed if we're talking about the cover and about vellum. A great many professions are needed in the successful completion of a single manuscript.
A to všechno, jaksi jsou desítky řemesel, které se vystřídají na tom jednom produktu.
Each copy from a print run, which is kept relatively small for both financial reasons and to raise a product's collector's worth, has to be verified and receive certification of the highest order by independent experts across various fields. Each new release requires steady nerves, Tomáš Žilinčár explained.
Každá ta knížka má svoji součást, jako nedílnou součást.
Every single book we produce has a certificate of origin, stating the print run number and a clause that the book will never be reprinted by us. Then there is certification by academics, which states that the book is the best copy possible of the original manuscript. We consult every single technical aspect, every step of the way, so that by the time I take the book for final verification, I know it is the best it can be. Certainly, there are nerves. Before the final attestation, I may have thrown away 50 copies, which weren't good enough. A specialist can always say, it's good, but it could be better. And that means going back and beginning again.
50 vzorků předtím jsem úplně zahodil a šel jinou cestou. A jdu tam s tím nejlepším.
It is not surprising, with the unparalleled level of expertise involved, hundreds of man-hours and general upfront costs, a single volume of a rare or historic manuscript sells from between 250,000 to 750,000 crowns by the time it hits the market. Who are the buyers, or in some cases, the recipients? Tomáš Žilinčár again.
Not all the books in a print run of 200 go up for sale. Quite a few are given away to charities. Some are gifts for state occasions, visits by heads of state, or other key moments. And roughly 30 to 40% are sold abroad. And what remains is sold on the Czech market. State institutions, such as libraries and so on, often receive clones as gifts, which they either keep and use for their own purposes or eventually auction off to help fund other projects. Others who buy our books are collectors who want something very unusual, something you can't just get anywhere, someone who wants the very best. One example of a significant release we did recently was an authentic copy of the Kutnahora Bible, in Czech.
Vždycky něčím zvláštní a zajímavé. A samozřejmě si vybíráme ty nejlepší kousky.
Tempus Libri's clients are top managers and company owners as well. And most recently, TV celebrity and talk show host Jan Kraus, the Czech Republic's answer to David Letterman, received one of the firm's tomes as a gift.
And that edition of The Arts, which was first broadcast in April this year, brings us to the end of our English language program. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.